We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Martha Glowacki is a Wisconsin artist whose work brings together what might seem to be polar opposites, science and art. Glowacki explains in her artist statement that her ideas for creative work come primarily from observing and analyzing the natural world.
Her latest exhibit is called Martha Glowacki's Natural History, Observations, and Reflections, and it's on display at the Chazen Museum in Madison through May 14th.
In this edition of Radio Chipstone, Glowacki tells Sarah Carter of the Chipstone Foundation and contributor Jennifer Fields about the way the collision of scientific text and art informs her work.
The show is divided into four parts where I'm looking at different areas of science and scientific illustration. And in this particular piece, I'm really interested in the history of collecting and botanizing and botanical specimens as collections. And what you see here are three different plants that I have constructed, but they look kind of like dried plants, and they have been tied down so that they dry in a proper manner. But the way they're tied down is with bits of text. And the text traps the plants in some ways, but it also tells you about the emotions of the person who was doing the collecting. The bits of text come from a man named Peter Collinson, and he was getting plant specimens from a very famous American botanist named John Bartram. He wrote letters to John Bartram, and John kept a copy of every letter Peter Collinson wrote to him. In the center part of the triptych, John says, "My botanic genius carried me into a garden. On a sudden, my eyes was ravished with the sight of the flower, and my heart jumped for joy that I should find it at last where I expected to find nothing."
It reminds me of the bugs you see collected. When I look at those things, it's usually my focus is on the death. But even though these plants have long expired, this brings them back to life.
I think another thing, and Sarah is itching to say something here, but I think another thing now that you mention it is that you see these plants, they're tied down, but they're still really animated. So they're moving in the space.
Well, I'm really intrigued by your observation, Jennifer, that Martha's work is bringing these plants to life in a way. And part of the way it seems that this work is doing that is because she is reconnecting these specimens to the people who actually found meaning in them. And by connecting these specimens to people who found them meaningful, she's making them meaningful again in a new way. Because, of course, when you're reading through the various scientific texts that Martha uses for inspiration, you're reading the work of an individual or a group of individuals who created those texts and those illustrations. You're not just looking at, quote-unquote, pure science, if such a thing ever existed. It doesn't exist. It's all subjective in its own way. And Martha is making that subjectivity visible in a really exciting and very beautiful way in this work. Looking closely, you discover that you're not just looking at plants. You're looking at plants and fish bones that Martha has put together in this beautiful and creative way that's challenging even the very division between an animal and a plant.
I think about how different viewers are going to react to these pieces. And if you are a plants person, a botanist, this may make you crazy because these plants are constructed. They're fabricated by me. So some parts of them are cast from actual plant parts. The piece on the left here, for example, the bottom that looks like the part of the root is a dried morel mushroom with roots coming out of it that have nothing to do with a mushroom. They're from tree roots. The leaves are cast sweet pea vine leaves. And as Sarah was mentioning, the flower sections on all of these are from fossilized fish bones. I have a little collection of fish bones that were dug out of a midden. And when I looked at them, I thought, many of these bones look amazingly like plant flowers or parts of flowers, which made me think about another concept, idea that was prevalent for several centuries in the history of science, which is to look at similarities across the plant and animal kingdoms. How a bird's wing bones, for example, look like a human's arm bones, or how plant parts and the ways that plants function are similar to the ways that animal bodies function. So I thought, what fun to combine these. And people don't recognize that unless you tell them.
Now these three pieces, Martha, two on a desk, one on sort of a side table. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but I feel like I know a little bit more about your process in looking at these pieces. Hmm. I can see you sitting there doing this.
Okay. Super.
You know what I mean?
Okay, now I understand.
These pieces
sort
of create this world. They create this sort of sense and time. This could be a house. I always do the thing where I stop at all the red marks when I travel on a map. This could be some house that I stopped at from the 1800s, and I may walk in and there's someone who's reenacting history sitting at a desk working on this piece.
In a way, these plant table studies suggest almost a biographical or autobiographical aspect of Martha's work, that you can imagine her sitting at either of these chairs, looking closely, actually engaging in these experiments. And of course, we know that she created these objects here, created this installation, but we can also imagine her almost time traveling and doing this in the past, doing it in the present, creating a bridge between past and present with these objects and using scientific illustrations to help her do that.
It's as if we're going to walk out of here and you're going to sit down and finish.
Well, there's also a very personal component to this. When I was a child, and this really brings my personal experience directly to mesh with my research into the history of science. My father built my brother and I, and this is back in the 1950s when we were very small children, he built us science tables. We had fold-down science tables in the basement. I collected bones. I collected rocks. My brother did chemistry experiments on his table, and, you know, he didn't set the house on fire, which was amazing. We called them our science tables. And this part of the exhibition is looking at the beginnings of experimental science. I'm calling it the physics of botany, where people were really trying to understand through setting up an experimental process, a hypothesis and a test, how plants functioned. How did they take water up from the soil? How do they transpire that water into the air? How do they grow towards the light? So they set up experiments, which I'm recreating here, but I really think of them also. I'm akin to a scientist. I'm thinking of myself as a child, my interest as a child, but also thinking of these as laboratory tables in a scientist's lab.
Is this a more intimate look into Martha than you've done before?
Not really. I think that intimacy runs throughout all of my pieces. And in some pieces, it may be more obvious than others. The My Arcadia cabinet that's in the Chazen's collection is a very intimate look at my background. I really tried to synthesize how I see, how I gather information, and how I work in that cabinet. And here I'm looking at my long concern and love for being in nature and how that has sustained me and how it sustains my work. So it's personal, definitely, in that sense. But that underpinning runs through all these pieces. I have to tell you a little about these tables, too. And they are early 20th century. They were made by the Simmons Company that makes mattresses in Kenosha. So they're 1920s, 1930s tables. I found them at different flea markets, but they were institutional tables. So I know that the chairs and two of these tables came from the Dane County home, which was built around 1900, World War I, that period, during the hospital, beautiful period, but they were in inmates' rooms in what we would have then been called the insane asylum. So there's also, for me, there's that frisson. It's just thinking about the history of the objects is something I know, but it seems really important to me to give these objects a new life in a different way.
Material culture contributor Jonifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education into the decorative arts.